We're starting a new series this week. I don't know, it'll go for a few weeks here, just to kind of go into the summer months. And it's just called With Jesus. It's probably the simplest series that we've had around here for a while. And it's just called With Jesus. And it comes out of Acts, out of the chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And Peter and John have performed a miracle, or Jesus has performed a miracle through them in the temple. And a man who was lame has walked. And the crowds are kind of getting stirred up, and Peter and John and the other apostles, they're starting to preach. And they drag them before the religious leaders, and they start asking them questions, and they start answering them. And they're answering them with you know, I guess unbelievable answers that men who haven't been educated shouldn't be able to speak like this. And they can't. The religious leader says they're worrying, and they're wondering at how these men are speaking. And in 4:13, it just has a phrase in there, and it says, and they worried about all this, and they couldn't figure it all out. But then it says, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And so we're just going to have a series in here just so that we can start to look at our lives and maybe people around us would recognize that we have been with Jesus. And maybe we can take a look at some things in our lives and just say, do people around us recognize that? Not that we had learned all the right rules, not that we had figured something out or anything like that, just that we had been with Jesus. So we would talk on that just a little bit this morning, just for a few minutes. Last week, I was at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York for a conference up there. I got to be with the worship live with you guys online, and then I had to run and get in line because it's a unique thing up there that they've got going. And it's not by anything that they've done, but they've actually gotten put on to the bus tour list for like a gospel tour of New York or other things of New York. And so these bus tours have put them on their agenda. So on Sunday mornings, they've got buses of people just showing up with their cameras and, you know, just tourists showing up in their services. And they're a church, though. It's not like they're there for the looks and things. So they just have unique challenges. So they do it a different way. They kind of lock the people in, and, you know, the tourists are just there to hear the choir, but they lock them in for the sermon, too, and they just make it. It's a great thing they got going up there, right? They just pound them over the head with Jesus. It's just an amazing thing, all right? But, no, it's awesome up there. It really is. It's just amazing. But this might be funnier to me than it is to you. But last week, I just had the chance on a Sunday to do something that I don't get to do very often, and that is go to church. I just got to go and enjoy church. And I loved it. Nothing was on the responsibility on me, right? The air condition's out. Not my problem. It was fantastic, right? The music's too loud. Who cares? The music's too soft. Who cares? Like, I loved it, right? You didn't get a snack in the foyer. Somebody ate them all before you got a chance. I don't care. God bless you. Here, have one of the 10 cookies that I stole from the foyer, all right? Here you go. I'll share them with you. It was, maybe it's funnier to me again than it is to you, but it was a fantastic experience for me. But I loved it up there, and they have a Tuesday night prayer meeting that is just unbelievable. It's just great. And we're going to take some ideas from that, and kind of incorporate them here just in the coming weeks. So look for that. They just have this beautiful service that you can attend. And so I loved it. And while I was there, I just had a chance to kind of reflect, just to kind of, the conference I was at was called Refocus, just to kind of look at some things in your own life and then for the church and things. And I just had a chance to kind of reflect and just to seek God and just let the Word of God start working on me. Because sometimes sermons are good, and sometimes, you know, devotionals are good and all those other things. But sometimes it's just the Word of God just needs to work on you. You have to get back in it and just let Jesus speak to you. And so there, I'm cutting the legs out from my sermon already. You don't need a sermon. You need the Word of God. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning, though, all right? I just want to read a few verses, just kind of go through a story about Jesus, make a few comments on it, and just kind of see where we're at, all right? And just to preach to you in a way, but I don't know. I almost didn't tell this, but this isn't a great message, except to me. All right, this isn't a intricate, this isn't a complicated, if you want that, maybe come back next week. Next week will be a little bit better. This is just from my heart to yours. This is just what God has been working on me with. And so it's simple points, it's simple story, but even in New York, I just let the Word of God get on me. And so I thought about this series with Jesus and how maybe we get our eyes off of what we think is important. We start to get back on Jesus. We just start to do it. And so, like I said, I spent it in reflection. And I asked God, I just asked him, I had heard someone say this one time. I just asked him for one word or two words, right? Just one or two. A lot of the pastors that were up there at the conference, they were asking for, you know, a vision or a motto or something for their church. And God bless them. God lead them, you know, whatever they were wanting. But I don't need a page. I just want a word from God. Just one or two words to kind of focus on. It's about all I can handle, right? A sentence is a little too much. sometimes, right? I love the quote, Christians are far more educated than their level of obedience. We know a lot more than maybe that we're acting on. And so I wanted a word from God that I could follow, something that he would just give just for this church, for my own life, for my family, just something that he would give. And the word that came back, and I really felt God putting on my heart, wasn't only for the future. It was almost like a word of reflection just over the last couple of years. Because we've been through some stuff as a church and as my own family. And I know in your families, I've seen your prayer cards. We've been through some stuff. And I'm not just talking about the flood, all right? I'm not trying to dredge that up. I'm saying in these last couple of years, we've walked through tragedies and we've walked through different things. We've been through some things. And the word that kept coming back to me was dependence. Not independence, dependence. Because I think the fallacy there sometimes for us is that we get too independent in our own lives, and we forget about the dependence we need to have on God just to make it through. We remember him when we're in the valleys. We remember him when we're going through the things, but we forget about it once we reach the plateau or the mountain again. And so the word kept coming back for me, just dependence, depend on me. And by me, I mean Jesus, the word that he was speaking to me. And I don't have this deep enough in me yet. I really don't, all right? I'll put that out at the beginning. I don't have this as deep in me as it should be. But God is teaching me things about dependence, about depending on him. And so I've discovered some things that maybe he's taught me, and that is to lean on him more, to depend on him more. And one of the people in the Bible that really got this, that really got how to depend on Jesus was Mary. And you know the story of Mary and Martha. We're not going to camp out here, all right? There's another story I kind of want to get to. But you remember the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible where Jesus comes to their house and Martha's in the kitchen. Martha's, preparing. She wants to make a good meal for Jesus. And I love that about Martha, all right? Jesus deserves a good meal. He deserves it. But she's in there. And Mary, though, Mary's not cooking in the kitchen. Mary's at his feet. And so Mary having this intimate time just talking with Jesus, just singing with Jesus. Mary chose. So Martha's doing all that. And so I guarantee you, though, that when Jesus left that house, Mary got the better end of the deal. Mary figured out, Jesus said so. Mary has chosen what is better. And so Martha's in the kitchen. She wants to make a good meal for Jesus. And there have been times in my life that I have done things for Jesus. But if I can tell you something, the things that meant more, the things that taught me more on dependence were when I did things with Jesus. When I was just with him. When you just sit at his feet and Jesus leaves the house and Mary got the better thing. And I imagine Mary, after he left, Mary was telling Martha, what Jesus said. And I bet it just ticked Martha off, right? I can just imagine like, oh, Martha, were you in there tossing the salad? Jesus said this to me. And Jesus, me and Jesus were talking about this. And Jesus, we prayed about a few things. And, he really spoke. Can you imagine Martha? I just ticked Martha off. But she chose what was better. She chose what was better. And so Mary chose Jesus after it all. And so this morning, I want to go into the Gospels. There's a story here. There's a story in the Gospels that it's in all four of them. So we're going to jump around and all those. But Jesus just performs a miracle. And all of you know it maybe from when you were a kid or growing up. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And he performs a miracle on the hillside. And so I just want to kind of go to that story and just see how we can learn dependence, what we can learn from being with Jesus. All right, so we'll go in Matthew or in, so that's in Acts, so that's the, right, so the next version of Acts is they recognize that they have been with Jesus, but then we'll start the story of the five loaves. It's coming. All right, so Matthew 14, it says, toward evening, disciples, well, that's the wrong one. All right, we're going to start earlier in the season. So in the beginning of this one, all right, so let's say they'll get upset. It's probably my fault. I probably gave the wrong things. There's some things, all right, so let's pray this morning. We'll get it kind of sorted out there and just kind of get us back on track. Father God, I ask you, Lord, just move me out of the way, God. Father God, you know what's needed in here today, God. You know what your word needs to preach, God. You know what people need in their hearts, Lord. So I ask Jesus, you just move. And so, Father God, I ask you, God, just to use the word of God just to change hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And so just the first point this morning, number one, is just don't overlook what Jesus wants to teach you when you're with Jesus. Don't always be in the kitchen. Don't always be doing things for Jesus. Don't overlook what he wants to teach you when you're with Jesus. Make the most of the time you have with Jesus. Because he wants to teach us something. And every time that we have a situation with Jesus, every time we're around him, he wants to teach us something. Every story that he does something, he wants to teach something as well. So we're in John chapter 6. John 6, and Jesus comes to them, and they're out. So just to kind of set the scene for you, they're out on the mountainside, and Jesus has been doing miracles, and he's led the people out to the mountainside. And he's been doing miracles in the city, healing the sick. And it says that the people followed him because they saw what he had done. They saw what he had done healing the sick. And so all the multitudes followed him out there, and there's all these people, so Jesus is going to teach them. And he looks over at one of his disciples in John. He does this. He looks over at one of his disciples named Philip. And you're going to feel really sorry for Philip by the end of this. But he looks at Philip and he says, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip, how are we going to feed these people? Come on, Philip, tell me. Tell me how we're going to feed these people. And notice the next phrase, if they've got it up there, after he's told Philip this. Notice the next phrase. All right, so a huge crowd followed him. Keep on going until he talks to Philip. All right, so Philip answered, and go back right before verse 6, right after he tells Philip, he said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. It said Jesus asked Philip, hey, Philip, how are we going to feed 5,000 people in the wilderness? We don't have any food. And then it said he did this like Jesus is poking at Philip, right? He's having fun with him. He said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people, Philip? And Philip, in his mind, he does kind of what we are going to do. He starts trying to figure it out. So it already knew what he was going to do. Sometimes God asks us questions so we figure out where we are and where we're going to do. And don't overlook what God wants to teach you when you're with Jesus. And so Philip does what I probably would have done. He says, oh, Lord, we do 200 denarii. We couldn't feed these many people. We couldn't even give them a bite of bread. Why are you doing this to me, oh, Lord? And he just said, we can't do it. We can't give it. And so I want you to know, first of all, Jesus wants to stretch our faith and make us more dependent on him. If the word is dependence, if what we're learning is dependence, Jesus wants to stretch our faith, not so that we can strike out on our own, but that we depend on him more. We stretch our faith knowing what our God can do. And so he asked Philip, how are you going to feed 5,000 people? And he says it knowing that the disciples cannot do it. And so he says, Philip, come on, what? He's having fun with Philip. He said, what do you want to see? And so the first point, I guess, this morning is Jesus knows when we're over our head. He knew in the story, he knows how this is going to play out. He knows what he's going to do, but he knows when we're in over our head. He knows when you are. He wants us to look at something that's beyond us. Because if it was something, if it weren't over our head, we would just go right back inside ourselves to do it. But he wants us to look at it and know that it's bigger than us. He wants me to see something. When he comes to me and says, hey, I want you to do this or I want you to do that, he wants me to know that it's bigger than me. So that he can confront that it's bigger than me. So I know in my heart that it's bigger than me. So that when something happens that's bigger than me, my only choice is to go to Jesus and say, it must have been you because it's bigger than me. Fit that on your bumper sticker this morning, all right? He wants us in over our heads so that we're dependent on him. He wants us to be dependent on him. So he says, Philip, how are we going to do this? Philip says, we can't even give them a piece of bread each. We can't even do this, Lord. We don't have enough money for this. I don't know if you know this, but in New York City, the food is unbelievably expensive. Like, you want to eat. I got in late on Saturday night, and I had to find somewhere that was still open. By the time I got two tacos, a drink, and chips, I was at $25. It was unbelievable. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it till Sunday night, right? I'm going to have to, you know, eat my shirt. I don't know what I'm going to. And so we got there on Sunday, and I wasn't going to tell this, but confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, right? They had a continental breakfast for the pastors they had set up, right? They said each morning we'll have a continental breakfast, about 120 pastors. And we showed up, and I don't know where all these other pastors were eating, all right? I don't know if it was they ate their breakfast in their hotel, wherever. We got there, they had lines for the food, and nobody was eating. They're all talking. Some of them are reading their Bibles. They're praying and stuff like that. I am in that line, all right? I am loading up, right? Bagels, I'm making those ladies' day, right? I'm like, stuff them in here, right? Come on, 10 bagels and stuff. There you go. I embarrassed you in New York City. There you guys go. I didn't tell them what church I was from, all right? But the food is just, so Philip has this problem. He's like, Lord, we don't have enough money to give them just a piece of bread. Even if we had 200 denarii, we couldn't give them a piece of bread. And Jesus knows this. He knows Philip's going crazy. He knows Philip now is thinking, Jesus wants me to feed these people. He knows that he's over his head. And what Jesus wants us to realize, though, is that no matter what we have, no matter where we are, no matter everything we have, it will never be enough without Jesus. No matter what you've got saved up, no matter what you've got intellectually, no matter what you have in your career path, your arc, whatever it's got, it's never going to be enough without Jesus touching it. It won't be enough. So he doesn't want to be a side part of the picture. It's not something you know, a module you add in that just kind of helps your life go. He wants to be at the center of the picture. But we wrestle with that. There's a verse in John where Jesus tells his disciples, he says, without me, you can do nothing. And I've wrestled with that about a year and a half ago. I was just really kind of going through that, just wrestling with God about it. Because, and not to be arrogant or pedantic, God, I'm doing a lot of things without you. There's stuff that I can do, right? And I know you guys have had this argument too, where, hey, I'm a real go-getter. I can work hard on my own. You know, I can do a lot of things. A lot of people who don't have Jesus in their lives, they're doing stuff. People, we can do a lot of stuff. And Jesus will let you make the argument. He's let me just kind of work myself, you know, just trying. And again, not to be arrogant, not to try to like say, well, I'm just going to do it all without you, God. I would say there are things I do with you, and there are things that I can do without you. What's the meaning behind this? And so we start listing these things that we're doing. And so it's like Philip, we're kind of thinking, how much money is it going to take to do this? And Jesus has told us to do something, and we're like, we're going to do it, Jesus. We're going to do something for you. And he's trying to show us that we can't do it without him. We think God gives us tasks just to go and do them for the kingdom of God. And he gives us tasks sometimes to see that we're over our head and we need him. Please don't miss that. Sometimes God will give you a task to do. And he wants you to be dependent on him. Jesus has to touch it. And so what I felt God telling me, and this has been about a year that I learned this, God just speaking back into me, yeah, you can do a lot of these things, but you can't do anything eternal without me. All that stuff that you're doing that you think you're doing without me, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. Corinthians says, everything that a man does passes through the fire. Everything that a person does passes through the fire at the end. And what has eternal value makes it through. And he said, all that stuff that you're doing, there's been a lot of stuff that I've done in my life that are wood, hay, and stubble. Stuff that I thought was going to make it through there. But it doesn't have any eternal value unless Jesus touches it. Unless Jesus is in it. And so if you want the eternal touch on your life, you want that return on your life, you want something that's going to pass through there, you have to have Jesus in it. He's not one of the sources. He's not, you know, some source. But he is the source. He's not one of the answers, one of the trips up the mountain. He is the answer. We don't make a move without Jesus. He knows we're in over our head, but he wants us to depend on him. He said, Philip, how are we going to take care of these people? He wants to stretch our faith, just make us dependent on him. The second point this morning, don't overlook what others do not have. From the story, in other words, don't overlook the needs of others. So we're out of the Matthew passage now. And it says, toward evening, the disciples approached him. Right, so Philip has shared the load, all right? So he told Philip, I'm going to start teaching now, Philip, how are we going to feed these people? And then he starts teaching. And so Philip has been racking his brain. So he goes back to the disciples. And he probably doesn't say, God wants me. Jesus wants me to feed the people. He's like, all right, guys, Jesus wants all of us to feed the people. All right, come on. What can we come up with? All right. So the disciples approached him and said, we're out in the countryside. So Jesus has been teaching. So they interrupt him. And it's getting late. Dismiss the people so they can go to the villages and get some supper. This is probably one of the boldest things you'll ever see the disciples do in the Gospels. How would you like to be known as the person that interrupted Jesus? Right? The greatest teacher who ever walked the planet is teaching the people, is caring for the people. And they come and say, Jesus, hold on a second. We think, oh Jesus, that you should send the people to the village. Talk about lack of dependence. Talk about lack of, we think Jesus send the people away. That's what we came up with. We kind of brainstormed. We weren't listening to the message. We were running around trying to figure out how to do this. But we think we've got it now. See, the good news is the disciples did see the need, even though Jesus told them about the need. They saw the need. The bad news is they had the wrong solution for it. See, their answer was, let's dismiss them. Let's let them go to the town, to the village to get their own food and then come back. Let's dismiss them, Jesus. I want you to realize that to be with Jesus means that we don't dismiss people and their needs. You want to be recognized as being with Jesus. We don't dismiss people. We don't dismiss them. We don't say, well, go and fix your problem and then come back. And I think we've missed that maybe in the church. We say, well, go and get yourself right, then come back. What he wants us to do is when they say the need, we don't dismiss them. We don't say, go fix your own thing. The first thing he wants us to think of is Jesus. The first thing he wants to think of is, Jesus, how many times do we come across people who pour their hearts out to us? Who maybe see something different in us. They think, okay, they've been with Jesus. Or they just see a peace in your life. Or they see, and they pour out their hearts to us. How many times have we started in our minds, we start hearing what they're saying, and we start processing it and saying, okay, I've got the steps for you. You got to do 1, 2, and 3. Or we send them somewhere else. Or we say, hey, you got to go and do this or this or this. We give them the steps. How many times have we turned people away? We send them to the village instead of sending them to Jesus. Let that not be us anymore. As a church, let that not be us anymore. Whenever we see a need, the first thing we need to think of is, I've just got to get them to Jesus as fast as I can. I'm not saying you need to be the answer. That's never going to be what the sermon is, but we just have to get them to Jesus. We just got to get them that transfer to him as quickly as I possibly can. We don't dismiss the needs of others. We just know what the answer is. We don't send them to the village. We send them to Jesus. The third point, it's just a simple message this morning. We don't overlook what you do have. And next week is part two of this series, and it's more on this, maybe in a story. You've never seen this lesson taught before in the Bible, and that'll be next Sunday. But today, just don't overlook what you do have. And we're in Mark now. I told you in all the Gospels, we're going to jump around. His disciples responded, what do you expect us to do about it? And so what Jesus has done now, when they've interrupted him, they said, all right, Jesus, here's our answer. We want you to send them to the village. Jesus said, no, you feed them. I bet they wish they never interrupted Jesus, right? They, at this point in there, they're just thinking, no, Lord, wait on that one, right? Jesus said, you. And so here's what they did. They said, what do you expect us to do about it? Buy food out here in the desert. So there's a progression here. Because Philip has said, hey, we don't have enough money. Our best is not enough. And then the disciples come to him and they say, okay, we don't have enough. Our best is not enough. So let's send them to get fixed and then come back. Let's send them to the village. And Jesus said, no, I want you to feed them. I'm imagining, all right, just imagine with me the scene, right? So now they're in front of all the people, they've given their best idea, and Jesus has turned it right back in front of everybody. He's embarrassed them, right? He said, all right, you feed them. And so everybody's looking at them now. And I just imagine, like, they just, oh Lord, there are some days where we pray and fast, oh Lord, right? There are some days, oh Lord, we could just, and they get spiritual. Isn't it funny how we get spiritual when we get responsible? Let that speak to somebody this morning, all right? Isn't it funny how we get spiritual when we get responsible? That we start to say, well, let's pray more about it. Oh, God is in control. God is, yes, okay. We get spiritual when he says, you give them something to eat. He says, you got to understand something. What you have is not enough. But if you bring it to me, it's more than enough. I'm going to show you this, right? He says, you give them something to eat. So I'm back with it. It's one of his disciples, Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, there's a little boy here. And Jesus asked him, so what do you have? What do you have? If you don't have enough, what do you have? Just tell me. He says, the little boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this. And then in Luke, it says, we couldn't scrape up more than 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. We didn't have it. All Jesus is wanting to know that what you do have is not enough without Jesus, but it's more than enough with Jesus. And just to steal from St. Augustine, he said, without God, we cannot, but without us, God will not. God wants you to bring what you do have. That is a requirement. He doesn't need you, but he does require you to bring what you do have. He doesn't need you to do it, but he does require, it's called a divine partnership, where he requires you to bring what you do have. And this is not God helps those who help themselves, all right? This is not that. You won't find that in the Bible. This is not independence, because God helps those who help themselves is independence. That's like you're doing something, you're expecting God just to come alongside because you're helping yourself. This is God saying, I don't need you to do it, but I require you to bring what you do have. God is waiting for the loaves and the fish. In this story, Jesus is waiting for them to, he already knew what he's going to do, but he's waiting for them to bring what they do have. And so the point I put in here is Jesus depends on me to bring my loaves and fish. Jesus depends on me to give what I do have, and then he can touch it and do what needs to be done. What's amazing in this story is he doesn't do the work until they move first. He doesn't do it. He's waiting for it. And so we'll spoil some of next week's points. I don't care. You guys won't remember them next week anyways. But just think about it for a moment with me, all right? How many times have, in my own life, how many times have I not given my loaves and fish because I thought it was insignificant? I didn't think it was enough to do whatever it was Jesus was calling me to do. I didn't think it was enough to put into this place or to sow into that. I just didn't think it was enough. And I wonder how many times I've lost the blessing because I didn't put what I had, because I didn't think it was enough. I wonder how many times I've lost the blessing that I didn't bring Jesus what I had. And not only that, I wonder how many times other people missed out on a blessing because I didn't bring what I had. I wonder how many times other people, there are 5,000 people here. 5 loaves and 2 fish is just a drop in the bucket. There are 5,000 people to feed. But because somebody said, this is all I have, but I'm going to bring it to Jesus, 5,000 people were fed. I wonder how many times somebody's missed out on the blessing because I thought what I had was too little. But I know this much, if I bring what I have and Jesus touches it, it says afterwards they pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. What we have is not enough without Jesus, but it's more than enough. You got leftovers after Jesus touches it. If you bring it to Jesus' hands, don't you think the crowd loved the kid, right? You always think back about the kid, the little boy who gave his thing. Right? They're like lining up to high-five him afterwards. Right? You know, that was a great, thank you for the fish and chips, right? Just give it to Jesus. You can take what you have. If Jesus can take the 5 loaves and 2 fish and he can feed 5,000 people, he can take what you have and he can make a difference in people's lives. I want you to get your eyes off of how much it is. To get your eyes off of insufficient. Get your eyes off of, hey, I don't have that much to offer. And just think, in Jesus' hands, it's more than enough. When you serve, when you're on an outreach team, when you give, whatever it is, in Jesus' hands, it's more than enough. But you got to let go. First point this morning, don't overlook what you are with Jesus. Don't overlook what you have already. What do you have? Don't overlook what you are when you're with Jesus. When you're working with him. So in Matthew again, it says, this is, we have our 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they said. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Bring them here. And then he had the people sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. They gave the food to the congregation. And they all had their fill and they gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. He said, not enough in my hands, more than enough in Jesus' hands. Walking on water, that's the title of the next section. We won't get there today. All right, so the divine miracle happens when you do it. The moment it gets into his hands, nothing beautiful happens until it's in his hands. Something good happens. Martha prepared a good meal for Jesus, but the miracle doesn't happen unless it's in Jesus' hands. Being with Jesus is where the eternal happens. Listen to me. Good things happen without Jesus. Good things, what we think of as good things in the world, but nothing eternal happens without Jesus. Until we put it in his hands. I had a beautiful moment Friday night with my 5-year-old son, Elijah. We got back from the PetSmart store. We went there to get a couple of things. They wanted lizard cages. We're going to catch some lizards and have them living in our house. Praise Jesus. We're going to have, you know, nasty. Yeah, all right. So pray for me in the future. But I had a beautiful moment. We got back in and we came around the corner. And they're going to take their baths before they get ready for bed. And Elijah's kind of taking off his shirt and getting ready. He's 5 years old. And he whispered something. And I thought he said, I love you. And so I whispered it. I thought it was the most beautiful moment in the world. And I said, Elijah, I love you too. And he looked at me with his eyes and he said, Daddy, go pee-pee. And I was like, run, boy, run. You know, like, why are you telling me run to the bathroom? You know how to go. And so he ran across the house, right? It was a very spiritual moment in our house. Earlier than that, we had another moment that was a real moment, all right? Not you know, pee-pee moment. We came out of the festival, and my boys, they're 5 and 3, and they just know when we leave somewhere, when we leave a store or we leave the church and we go out in the parking lot, whatever it is, and when we leave somewhere, it's by instinct, right? They just reach up and they grab my hands. Right, it wasn't instinct at first. I had to kind of drill it into them, right? When we're about to go, I know there's, you know, it's kind of crazy, whatever. They reach up, they just grab my hands. And I know in the future it's not, you know, they're going to get older. They'll be able to walk on their own and things like that. But right now, I embrace, they grab my hand. It's almost this sense of, okay, I'm going to take care of you. I know the cars are out there. I know the people are crazy, crowds, whatever it is, but I've got you. I've got you. And I told you, this is not deep enough in me yet, but every day in my life, I try in the morning just to reach up and to grab my Heavenly Father's hands. Because he's just waiting. He's just saying, you know, just put your hand in mine. I've got you. I know the world is crazy. I know you're going through a lot of stuff. I know. And in these last 2 years when he's been teaching me dependence and we've been walking through things, just every morning just to reach up and just say, I've got your hand. And the things that I had in my hand, I can release. I can put them in his hands. Remember, they're not enough in my hands. I can take all accounts like Philip. I can write down and I can figure out what I've got and everything I have. It's never going to be enough. I can calculate and calculate and add it all. It's not going to be enough. My 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, eh? What is that if it's not in Jesus' hands? What is it? And so every day as we learn dependence, what he wants to teach us, we just reach our hands up and put them in Jesus' hands. We say, we don't know. We don't get it yet. We're still learning dependence, but we can reach it. We just hold his hand. Number 5 this morning, this is the last one. We're going to close. Don't overlook what happens when you depend on Jesus, when you put your hand. John 6, verse 12 says, when the people had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted. They went to work, filled 12 large baskets with leftovers, with 5 barley loaves from the fish. And then I love this verse here in 14. It says, the people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. When you depend on Jesus, they recognize that you've been with Jesus. They know that they've been with Jesus and Jesus is glorified. Never get into this thinking that you're going to be glorified. Nobody's praising the disciples in this story. Nobody's saying hoorah for, Philip. When you do things, when you put the things in the master's hands, it's just part of being a Christian. Realize you won't get the glory for it. And part of dependence is learning to be okay with that. That's not why we are a church. I told you some of the pastors were looking for visions and motto. There is no vision or motto for a church other than to honor and glorify Jesus. We're going to lift Jesus high. So how are we the way that we are? We were with Jesus. That people recognize that we were with Jesus and that he gets the honor. When they see that, when they see, it says, let them see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why we do what we do. It's why we work with Jesus, why we're with Jesus, so people can glorify God. Like, just imagine with me, the little boy gets home, right? He pushes open the screen door, he goes in his house, he sits down, his mom comes out, sits with him. How was your day today? He says, Mom, you won't believe it. Right? There were 5,000 people out there, none of them planned ahead. Right? We're out there. You remember the lunch you packed me, Mom? It was fantastic, right? And it became apparent that nobody else had any food and Jesus was looking for food and he sent those guys that were with him out there and they were asking people, you got any food? And he says, and I saw him coming and I thought, oh no. And so I sat on my lunch because a squash lunch is better than no lunch, right? And he said, no, right? He said, no, I don't know what it was, but I gave my lunch to Jesus and Jesus blessed it and he fed 5,000 people with that lunch, Mom. And you see his mom just, oh, sweetie, you're lying again. I'm like, 2 weeks this time, no phone, no games, you're back. No, I'm not lying, Jesus did it. Can you imagine that little boy? He told that story every day for the rest of his life. Wouldn't you tell that story every day for the rest of your life, Jesus took? When he had children, he told his children that story. When he had grandchildren, he told he's tucking his grandchildren into bed, right? And they're nudging each other. We're going to hear the fish and chip story again, right? You're going to hear the fish and chip story again because it changed his life. Don't overlook what you are when you're with Jesus. Never overlook what he's doing. What are we learning about dependence? When there's a need, we don't overlook it. We get people to Jesus. When I've done all the calculating I could do, I'm always going to come up short. I just release it and I put it in his hands. Unless I turn it over to him, I'm always going to come up short. That's not some religious mumbo jumbo. Get that? You will come up short unless you put it in Jesus' hands. It's enough in Jesus' hands. Now this week, and honestly for the last few months, I've been singing an old song. I taught it to you guys about a year ago when we were still up in the fellowship hall. I don't mind if you don't remember it. We were up in the fellowship hall still after we had kind of rebuilt. We were going through the phases, getting back in here. And there were two songs that I sang in these last couple of years as we've kind of walked through some stuff. And one was I Surrender All. And the other was just an old chorus. And it's called Leaning on Jesus. And before you start, it's an old chorus. Up at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, they sing old choruses. They're from the, 60s and 70s and 80s. They sing those. It's just they have a unique situation. There's a lot of people, you know, coming in every day. I told you about the buses and different denominations, different backgrounds, different everything different each Sunday. And so they sing choruses because they're easier to teach. And again, hear me out before I can't say things on worship because without somebody thinking that I'm against them or that I'm on their team or I'm for them. I can't preach on worship without somebody coming to me in the week that they were hurt that, well, you didn't preach about what type of song I like, or you didn't say about this, or any song that glorifies God has its place in the church. And I don't look like it yet, but I'm an old soul. I love the hymns. I'll go song for song with you on the hymns. I know 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th verse. I've learned them all, all right? I will sing them. And I'll sing the choruses with you. You got your red back? Yeah, I will sing the choruses with you. From the 50s to 60s, I'll sing it. We'll sing Gaither. I'll sing any. But it's when you get pigeonholed into one type of song that I've got to get off the train. When you start telling me, well, it has to be this type or it has to be that type, that's where I've just got to let go. Because I love them all if they glorify God. And I'll sing the Psalms with you. We can sing them Psalms 1 to 150. We can sing every word in there. We sing all songs. But David didn't know the name of Jesus or the power of the blood on the cross. And there won't be a worship service that goes by at Victory without raising Jesus high. I'll just get all you mad at me this morning or liking me this morning. All right, we're going to praise Jesus with it. And so this is just an old song that I've sang. And I told you, I go back and forth between I Surrender All and Learning to Lean. And I don't cry much since I've got older. I used to cry a lot when I was a kid, but I don't cry much since I got older. Not a lot, kind of get, but I have sung these songs in tears. Just to give that to you, all right? I've sung these songs crying out to God. I've sung them when everything was good. I just, if I'm going to learn dependence, and this song just says learning to lean. And I've never been a great singer, all right? That's not my call. I can't hear harmonies to save my life. I can't. I'm more in the, you know, making a joyful noise category, all right? And it doesn't bother me. I think God likes it. I have the passion for it. The passion takes me further than my gifts can get me there, right? But I think God kind of likes it. I think he doesn't mind it. But I just sing this song. And I'll just teach it to you again maybe this morning. And every time I sing it, I just think back to the times in my life where I did sing it. And there are verses in my Bible where I've written on the side what I was going through when I read that verse. And I go back and read it and I think how God was faithful in those times. And I go back. And so there are songs that I sing that when I sing them, I remember where I was when I sang them. So if you just indulge me this morning, we're just going to sing that. It just says, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. So this morning, we're going to sing an old song. And you haven't quite got the tune yet because you're hearing me sing it, but that's okay. You can make a joyful noise too, right? Come on, sing it with me this morning. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. We're going to sing it again, but do you have something in your life? You have something in your life that you're leaning in. 1 Peter, it says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And maybe you have been leaning on him. That's okay. Jesus says, just lean harder. Put all your weight on him. He can take it. Put all your weight on him. He can take it. And if you're here today, if you've never done that, I don't want to let another minute go by in this service without giving you that chance, if you've never leaned on him, if you say, hey, I've never had Jesus, you've been in church all your life maybe, or you've never been in a church, and you're saying, I just want that in my life. I want to pray with you. If you're saying this morning, hey, that's in my heart, I feel the tugging on him, or if you're saying, I was walking with him, or I did lean on him, but now he feels a million miles away from me, and I just want to get back to him. Either one of those, if that's you, I just want to pray. If you've never heard that before, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants you, not a better version of you, not a dressed up you, that Jesus wants you. And I don't care if nobody else has ever wanted you, Jesus does. I don't care if nobody else has ever loved you, Jesus does. And so before we sing again, before we worship again, I want to just give you that chance, if that's you. And I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about signing a card. I'm talking about you're saying it's my time to follow Jesus. Say, now is the time. I feel it. I want to follow Jesus. Not a preacher, not a denomination, not anything like that. I want to follow Jesus. So that's you this morning. If you say, hey, that's me, I want to follow him. If you're listening online or you're watching or you're here in this building, you hear this, everybody just bow your heads with me this morning. We're not going to ask you to come forward. We're not going to make you do anything like that. There'll be a time for your public demonstration of your faith. But right now, you just have to make that decision. It's a personal decision between you and Jesus. Nobody's looking around. So if that's you this morning, I just want to ask you, no hesitation. If that's you this morning, you say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to pray that prayer. I want to be included in that. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Nobody looking around. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, just begin to pray with these five. We're waiting on you. If you want that, if you want to be included in that prayer, just slip up your hand. Thank you. All right, let's all bow our heads. We're going to pray it with you. I'm just going to give you some simple words to pray. You just mean them in your heart. And we're going to pray it out loud with you as a church, with those six who lifted their hands, and any who are watching online, anybody who wants to pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. Take control of my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Save me. Make me brand new. Today I give you my life. I'm leaning on you. In Jesus' name. And church, I've read your prayer cards. I know we've got some leaning to do this week. Some of you more this week. Some of you it's going to be in the coming weeks. I know we have leaning to do. So we're going to sing this again. And I'm not going to tell you how to worship. I'm going to lift my hands. Because I know that I just have to put my hand in my Father's hand. Every day I've got to do it. And there have been days where I haven't read my Bible. Come on, let's be real with each other. Right? Maybe you've never, but I have. There have been days, but there's never been a day that I haven't worshiped in some form. It's my prayer language with God. Where I can just cry out to him. And so come on, stand up with me as we sing it again this morning. And let's just lift up our voices. And let's let go of what's in our hands. Can we do that? If we lift them up, let's put them in Jesus' hands. The things we held so tightly to, the things we just couldn't let go. Whether we've been hurt before or whether we just know that this is, let's put them in Jesus' hands. Nothing eternal is going to happen if we don't. Come on, let's sing it. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. Learning. living on Him, finding more power than I ever dreamed of, learning to lean on Jesus. And all God's church said, amen. Amen. Lord, we praise You. Father, I thank You for every heart in here, God. I praise You, Lord, that You care for us so we can cast our cares on You. I thank You, Jesus, that we can put our hands in Yours. Thank You, Jesus, that we can lean on You, God, whatever we walk through, God. Just teach us, Father, to depend on You. Let others look at us and know that we've been with Jesus. Not that know that we were smart or know that we were able to do this or that. Not know that we were a good worker. Not know any of that, Lord. Just know that we had been with Jesus. And then give You glory for it. Everything we do just to honor You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're going to keep the music going up. If you want prayer, our prayer team's going to be up here after to pray with. If you want to, grab the barbecue chicken, the dinners on your way out to help the kids camp. Otherwise, guys, you're dismissed. Just have a blessed week.